Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of the Chocolate Puma Podcast. I am your host. I am the Chocolate Puma. The creature you may hear in the background of this episode is my co-host this week, Trotter the God. This week, gonna be another fairly quick episode, not too much to rant about. So just some show notes. If you'd like to email the show, you can email me at thepumapod@gmail.com. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, I have not been kicked off yet. That would be, you can follow me at btomp20. That's B-T-H-O-M-P-20. So yeah, follow me if you like ridiculousness and random trolling of Ben Roethlisberger, who's really sensitive for a man with his track record, but I digress. So that's all I got for the open. Here we go. So a few weeks ago, I talked about the absolutely infuriating, wrong, disgusting decision by the University of North Carolina to deny tenure to Nicole Hannah-Jones, who basically had been offered a position that was always tenured, and she was the first person not to receive tenure. Allegedly, and I say allegedly because I can't confirm it, I wasn't in the room, but the story goes that the man who donated the money to pay for the School of Journalism, Walter Hussman, had a problem with the 1619 projects and basically led the efforts to get her tenure, give it the old kibosh. Hussman, who just a classic newspaper man, you know what I mean? He's a guy who graduated from journalism school and fairly soon after was handed the reins to his family's newspaper empire. You know, just like all the great journalists. Anyway, there was quite an uproar. And essentially, the school backtracked on their decision and offered Hannah-Jones tenure, which, awesome. Now, this is where I was like, you know, would she stay? Would she deny it? Like, what would she do? And what she did was one of the greatest moments in, I don't want to call it petty history, but just, chickens coming home to roost history. Let's call it that. Because she was totally within her right to do everything that I'm about to lay out here. So she's offered tenure. And then she told him, no thanks. She instead will be going to Howard University, where she will, they're establishing the Knight Chair in Race and Journalism, a tenured position which she will hold. She's also going with Ta-Nehisi Coates, my favorite writer of all time. Their positions were funded by about $20 million from the Knight Foundation, the MacArthur Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, as well as an anonymous donor. It's good that this happened to UNC. It sucks, like, because there were a lot of professors who came out in support of Nicole Hannah-Jones, and they put their names out there, and if they would come for someone who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, what's to stop them from coming after a just random economics professor or, you know, a random intro to journalism professor? So hopefully there isn't, like, any backlash against them for that. But what made this so great to me is that they're going to a historically black college and doing this. Like, it, I understand, you know, UNC was home to her. She went to, she's an alumna there. So, you know, she has a connection there. And, you know, it's just awesome to me that Howard was able to slide in and get not just one, but two of the foremost geniuses. They're literal geniuses. They've won the MacArthur Grant. And it's just great seeing the next generation of young Black journalists be taught by one of the most, like the 1619 Project is just outstanding. And, it, you know, it's not just her. She's, you know, one of the many contributors to it. But just the work she's done over the years, it's good to see good people, good things happen to good people. And that, you know, the racist shit stains who put up such a stink to have her denied tenure when literally every single person who had that position got tenure. So good on her, good on Howard, good on Ta-Nehisi Coates. I'm excited to see, you know, the next generation of Black journalists. I'm excited to see what we get, you know? I think we're about to enter an era in which we have not seen in Black journalism. So I'm excited. I'm also a little bit intrigued to see how this is going to basically blow back on North Carolina. Their reputation just has been destroyed, I feel like, especially in like academic circles. Because I mean, who would go there at this point? The school has shown just an astonishing lack of backbone in defending this person who was endowed professorship at their school. It really just sucks for Carolina as well, because they've lost one of their most distinguished alumni forever, I feel. There's no coming back on this. As she said, look at what it takes to get tenure. Noting that every other chair of the position dating back to the 1980s had been granted tenure and they were all white. She received unanimous approval from the faculty during the tenure process, a process which is not something that's taken lightly. And so to be denied it, and to only have that vote occur on the last possible day at the last possible moment after the threat of legal action, after weeks of protests, after it became a national scandal, it's just not something that I want anymore, she told CBS. CBS This Morning. She never wanted this to become a scandal. She was just hoping to go back home, basically. And instead, she was just embarrassed and disrespected, I feel. And the sucky part was UNC's, you know, those in positions of power, they never told her, like, why her tenure wasn't taken up earlier or denied earlier. There was, you know, no reason given. So, you know, sucks that it had to happen. Those students are going to be the ones that miss out because, you know, some old bastard doesn't want to accept, you know, the history of this country. But good on Nicole Hannah-Jones for, one, fighting and getting the recognition she deserved from North Carolina, and two, not accepting, like, their, okay, fine, we'll give you tenure offer. She went somewhere where she was wanted, where she'll be appreciated, and where she'll do a lot of good. So, I'm, again, like I said earlier, I'm just excited about what's going to happen with the next generation of journalists. So as of this recording, this is the anniversary of LeBron James' decision to leave the Cleveland Cavaliers and go play for the Miami Heat. And while I will be honest with you, didn't care for the decision. Not on some, oh, he's ungrateful kind of thing, like a lot of people are. I did not like the decision because he didn't say the Chicago Bulls. And I think people just need to be honest with themselves. Like, if they don't like LeBron because of the decision, it's just because he didn't say the team that they were rooting for. You know, as a man, I really I really do like LeBron, and over the years I have grown to become a fan of his. But in that moment, he was the most hated guy I could think of. I wanted nothing but bad things, losing wise. I didn't want, like, you know, bad health or anything. I think the decision was one of the most important moments in professional sports history. It kind of opened the gates to the player empowerment movement, which some people look at as a bad thing. I look at it as a great thing. For too long, I think ownership and front offices have held too much power over guys. But when you got guys like LeBron, Bosh, Wade at the time, like three of the top 10 to 15 players in the world, saying, oh, we don't have to take the most money. We'll sacrifice money to, one, play where we want to play, play with who we want to play with, in pursuit of a championship. And to the people listening who say, oh, well, back in my day, there weren't any super teams. Bullshit. There were super teams. They were put together by, you know, backroom, like, moves and all that. It wasn't as open as, you know, this was, but make no mistake about it, there were super teams. The LA Lakers of the 80s, that was a super team. You had Magic, you had Kareem, you had James Worthy, you had Michael Cooper, Byron Scott. Like, these guys were all, like, all-star level players, defensive player of the year level players, so that's a super team. Boston Celtics of the 80s. You had Larry Bird. You had Robert Parrish. You had Kevin McHale. Bill Walton. Dennis Johnson. Again, super team Hall of Fame players. The Detroit Pistons. An underrated super team, but in my opinion, a super team nonetheless. You had Isaiah, and you had Joe Dumars. You had Rick Mahorn. Lambeer, as much as I hated that bastard, Vinnie Johnson, a young Rodman. Again, super teams have always existed. Now, this time, though, it's the players making the decision of who they want to play with. And that all can be tied back to the decision. So, as much as I wish he had said he was bringing his talent to the, to the Chicago Bulls, I gotta say, some good did come out of this. Although I am still pretty pissed off about the Miami Heat when they beat the Bulls after we had that one seed. So, you know what? In hindsight, screw you, LeBron. Just kidding. Send me some Space Jam 11s. I know you got the connection. You got that Space Jam connection. Right. So I'll end this episode talking about the Rachel Nichols and Maria Taylor beef. And whoo-hoo, boy, holy hell, this was wild. So for the uninitiated, basically, Rachel Nichols was recorded on a call or a video from the NBA bubble. So the contents of, basically, there's a camera set up for, you know, whatever show she's hosting at the time. It's recording a private conversation she's having with Adam Mendelsohn, who is the advisor to LeBron James. And during this call, there's some vague, I guess I'll call it white woman racism. She basically said that Maria Taylor got the assignment that she wanted because the network was feeling the pressure to improve on its diversity issues. She said, I wish Maria Taylor all the success in the world. She covers football. She covers basketball. If you need to give her more things to do because you're feeling pressure about your crappy longtime record on diversity, which, by the way, I know personally from the female side of it, like, go for it. Just find it somewhere else. You're not going to find it from me or taking my thing away. And while I understand, you know, totally, the feeling that someone is coming for your job, or you feel like you're losing something that was promised to you. Where I take umbrage with this, I think, is the fact that she basically, when she throws in the diversity talk, she's acting as though Maria Taylor only got this position because she's a black woman. Maria Taylor is one of the most, I'd say, decorated and just flat out good at her job people in sports media, not just ESPN. And she's done it all. All the way back to 2012, she was a reporter at the University of Georgia. She did studio shows for University of Georgia for SEC Men's Basketball Tonight, Sports Night, Dog Report. In 2013, she was sideline reporter for the Saturday night primetime game of the week and the Orange Bowl. She was an analyst for Women's Basketball Selection Show, the Women's Preview Show, the Women's Tournament, Women's Volleyball Tournament. She was with the SEC Network. She was a college football reporter with Brent Musburger and Jesse Palmer. She did volleyball, women's basketball. She replaced Sam Ponder as the host on ESPN College Game Day. She basically anything on this network, she's done. Like, she literally grinded her way up from being a in-studio, like, campus reporter from the University of Georgia all the way to where she's at. Nobody gave her anything, you know. And while Rachel Nichols is very good at what she does, maybe, just maybe, they looked at side by side at the performance and was like, you know what? I think she's better. I think we go with the person who we think is better at this job. And she still has her show. She's still, you know, got The Jump, which is, you know, one of my favorite basketball shows. I totally like it. But, you know, I do kind of look at her a little bit differently because the first time, you know, maybe because it's a black woman and I'm feeling, you know, a certain way about, you know, how she was talking. It just kind of struck me the wrong way. Like, I can't stop looking at her like, you're really giving me Karen vibes here. Really giving me Karen vibes here. And I kind of knew something was coming, just because a few weeks ago there were all these leaked stories about how Maria Taylor is demanding Stephen A. Smith money, and, you know, all these kind of stories kind of painting her as this greedy person and all of that. And while her contract is up, one, I don't see anything wrong with asking for Stephen A. Smith money if you're doing all the things that she does. They don't have to say yes. But, you know, she can ask for it. And what a weird time for your contract to come up. Like, just the timing. Like, her contract is up during the middle of the NBA Finals. So ESPN's got a hell of a decision to make. So they can let her walk. And with this increased exposure and people seeing, like, holy shit, she's really good at her job, I think that she'll be able to go anywhere and do whatever she wants. If she wants to become the face of the Olympics, she'll become the face of covering the Olympics. Like, I'm really high on Maria Taylor. If she comes back, they're going to have to back the bank truck up to keep her. Because, yo, like, she's literally done nothing wrong in this. And she's been getting, like, just dragged through it. So, again, going to be real interesting to see where it goes. But I got some tiramisu here I'm going to eat. So I'm going to hurry up and sign off. So catch me next week. I'll see about getting a guess. But until then, you guys, you all be easy. You take care of each other. Take care of your mentals. And I'll talk to you later. Peace.